allies, and anybody that wants to learn more about the LGBT plus community. My name is Zanardi, and I'm so glad all your beautiful faces are here. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Alphabet Mafia podcast. Our guest today is the phenomenal Gabby Katharina. Gabby is a bisexual TikTok creator. You have probably seen her videos or you might be familiar with her if you are on TikTok. She makes a lot of videos centered around women's equality, around LGBT rights, and really anything on the progressive agenda. I found Gabby very shortly after I started making content on the Alphabet Mafia TikTok, and I've been following her ever since, and I've been a big fan, so I was really grateful that I got to talk to her today. And we had a great conversation, a little bit about everything. We talk about the definition of bisexual and the micro labels like omnisexual and pansexual. We talk about dealing with homophobic parents, as Gabby was recently outed to her mom. We talk about he/him lesbians. We talk about Trump and just everything going on in the world right now. So it was a great conversation. And before that, I just want to remind you that this podcast is sponsored by our good friends over at Manscaped. And Manscaped is the number one and only men's grooming brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming. Do you hear that? That is a Manscaped razor. This is the Lawnmower 3.0. It is a brand new cutting-edge ball trimmer, if you will. So, and if you have balls and you want to take care of your parts down there, because the quarantine is lifting, let's face the facts, even though COVID cases are rising, the quarantine is lifting, and you might be going out, you might be meeting some people, and if you trim down there, then you want to be prepared. So I highly recommend Manscaped. I've been using them for the past 2 months now. They were kind enough to send me a bunch of product, and I'm obsessed with them. I don't know if this sponsor ever ends. I don't know what I'm gonna do. Like, I'm gonna have to be a customer at that point. And so you don't have to worry about nicking yourself anymore. No cuts, no whatever. I used to cut myself and bleed and be afraid that everything was gonna fall out. That doesn't happen anymore. Head on over to manscaped.com. Use code GAYFAM20 over at manscaped.com. That's code GAYFAM20 at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. For any Manscaped product, it doesn't even have to be the razor. They have ball deodorant, they have ball toner, they're releasing a nose trimmer soon. So head on over to manscaped.com, use code GAYFAM20 for 20% off and free shipping. All right, enough about nuts. Here's the show. Gabby, we're live.
Oh, yay. Hello.
Hello. How are you doing this morning? Or this afternoon, I guess, for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Eastern Standard Time. I'm doing just peachy keen, you know, living the dream.
Yeah. Hear that. So why don't you just introduce yourself just for anyone that doesn't know.
I'm Gabby Katharina. I am mostly known on TikTok, but I also am on a couple other social media platforms as well, such as YouTube and Instagram and all that fun stuff. But most of my content kind of focuses around LGBTQIA+ rights and inclusion, and just basically making people a little bit more knowledgeable on what the community actually is.
Cool. Yeah, I found you. I think I found you like shortly after I started off at Mafia. It was like really quick. I remember the exact video that popped up on my For You page. It was you were calling out some homophobe. I forget what they said, but very on brand for you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah. I think it must have been when I called out that kid for saying that gay marriage isn't okay because the Bible says so. And I was like, oh, that's funny because the Constitution is in the Bible, sweetie cakes.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly it. I remember I was like, okay, stand this girl.
That was so long ago. It feels like forever ago.
I know, right? A lot has changed. The whole app has changed. There's been so many new faces. Like, it's crazy.
Oh, yeah. It's gotten so interesting lately.
Yeah. So you are bisexual, right?
Yes, I am.
Cool. And we love a bi icon.
Yeah, absolutely, bi icon.
And recently, I know you mentioned that you were outed to your mom, or that you came out to your mom.
Yeah. So basically, I suppose someone who like knows my mom asked her like, oh, I know your daughter like knows my like niece or something. And my mom was like, that's weird. How? And I guess like just decided to spill my life story. So thank you so much to that person, smooches. My mom was kind of like, oh, hey, Gabby. So how do you know this person? I was like, oh, if only you knew how I knew this person. Ooh. I mean, my mom has always like said that she's like super open with like LGBTQIA+ people. Like, I've had so many friends who she's been like, oh, I love them so much. And then like it was just immediately weird. And I was like, oh, God.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
how we like know that there's like when people like say they're like not homophobic, but like they're just a little bit.
A little bit. It's like when they have to like over exaggerate and like let it be known, like, hey, I'm not homophobic.
It's right. Like, it's like, okay, but if you're not homophobic, then you wouldn't have to say that you're not homophobic.
Right. And so how has that been going with your mom? Is it weird or like what's the dynamic looking like?
I work most of the time. Like my family is gone today. Like they all just yeeted while I was sleeping. That was cool. Don't know where they are. But I work most of the time, so I don't really like see them often. And like when I do, we haven't really been talking anyway because of the whole Black Lives Matter thing, because we definitely don't agree on that.
Oh no. Yeah.
Oh, it's been so bad. But you know, living the dream. Mm-hmm. I moved out here, so that's all I can say.
Do you have any like advice for people who are outed to their parents or who do have to come out at a time that they're not ready for?
Yeah, especially like when people out you, it's like a really, it feels like kind of violating because that's like something that is your own story to tell. That's like your own thing, and that's something that's so personal to everyone. Yeah, but for people who are like outed to like their family or like when it's not like the right time, like the best thing to do is to go to people that give you some sense of solace and are like a place of safety for you. Cause that was like a super helpful thing for me, especially like recently. I've just been talking to a lot of my friends and it's been really helpful to just have a support system to like back yourself up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Just to at least make you feel appreciated and understood and know that you are loved and valid for whoever you are, for whatever you identify as.
Right. Exactly.
And it definitely, cause I had a similar experience before I came out to my friends in college, my straight friends who are in a fraternity with me, I went and found a group of gay friends. Actually, it's kind of a bad story, but I went on Grindr with the intention of like finding a friend, but like I went to hook up with this guy and I like kind of friend zoned him.
It
did lead, yeah. But like, cause I don't, we did hook up, but I like, was not into it. But I was like, okay, I need to like at least find some. So like, we ended up talking, and I told him like I was brand new to being gay, and it did work because he invited me to hang out with his friends later, and like, yes, now I have a gay friend group.
Oh my god. So, yes.
Yeah, and if you're under 18, please do not do that.
Yeah, don't go on those apps. There's scary people on there.
Yeah, for real. So what? as a bisexual, what are your thoughts on this whole like bisexual, pansexual, I guess, dilemma? Because I get this question all the time and I try to answer it, and my response is always just like, hey, either way, like they're valid. If they want to be pansexual, they're valid. If they want to be bisexual, they're valid. But kind of from someone who understands it a little bit more, since I'm, you know, a heterosexual or a cisgendered homosexual.
It's like, oh my god.
Oh god. That would be terrible. oh, shoot me now. Cisgendered homosexual, I almost said it again. I could just end this podcast right now. So what it from a bisexual, like what are your opinions on the nuances of this pansexual bisexual debate?
Yeah, I mean, when people talk about pansexuality, a majority of people who identify as pansexual are a lot younger because it is more of a newer term. And when we think of bisexuality, we think of it as an umbrella term. And people who use bisexual may actually be bisexual in their own way, or they just want to use the umbrella term. However, people often like think that bisexuality in itself is transphobic, which simply isn't even true based on the bisexual manifesto, because it identifies that there are more than two genders. Mm. So bisexual people aren't inherently transphobic unless they are transphobic. So sure. I think there's a lot of like infighting with like people who are pansexual, bisexual, omnisexual, anything that falls under the bisexual umbrella, when really people are just going to be who they are. And if you don't understand it, then you can always ask questions. And that's kind of what I've learned to do. Because did I know about every single sexuality in the entire universe a year ago? No. Do I still? No, absolutely not. There's everything is constantly changing. And the best I can do is take a moment and like actually ask people like, oh, hey, could you like explain this for me? So I don't say something that is like going to offend you or invalidate your sexuality in some way, because having that done to you really sucks. It really doesn't feel good.
Oh, totally. Have people tried to invalidate you for being bi?
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm told that like, I'm essentially straight like all the time. And I'm like, this is news to me.
Yeah.
Really? Crazy. I did
not. Well, it's from dudes, right? I would assume.
What was that?
Is it from guys?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's also from a lot of lesbians, because there are a lot of biphobic lesbians. They're like, well, you're just like bisexual because like you want to have threesomes. And it's like, no, absolutely not. That's so gross. Oh, like, God. I personally wouldn't do that. Yeah. That's like not why I decided to be like bisexual or like was bisexual. Like, no, that's not how it works.
Do you think people are just like upset? Do you think that like, for example, if a straight man is trying to invalidate you, it's because they're like, oh, we don't want you to like women, we want you to like us, and then like vice versa for lesbians? Is that, are people just mad? Or
yeah, I feel like people either just don't understand it because they're so used to a very like heterosexist narrative, which is very like, oh, well, you're either this or this. And it's very monosexual, and that's just not how people are. I mean, I don't believe that anyone is 100% like any sort of sexuality or any like level of a spectrum. That's why it's a spectrum. Like, I would love to meet the one person who is 100% straight and just like see how their brain works.
Right.
Oh my God. Interesting.
Or in my example, like Rihanna or Zendaya comes up, it's like, you know, that's that 0.1% hetero in me.
Right, exactly. Or that's like when people who like identify as straight, they're like, oh yeah, like when, oh my God, Ruby Rose was on Orange is the New Black, and like every single girl was like, oh my God, I'm straight, but I was like, wow, crazy. Yeah. It's almost like you don't have to be homophobic because everyone's a little bit gay.
Right, exactly. Everyone's a little bit gay. I love that. Right? So bisexual, it doesn't mean like 50-50, right? It can mean like 80% you like women and 20% you like men. Is that true? Or can you just elaborate on that?
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, it like goes through cycles. So like every so often, my Tinder settings will get set like 100% one way or 100% the other way, or it'll just be on everyone. Like when I'm looking for like people, it just depends on like how I'm feeling. So like if on that day I'm like, oh yeah, like I'm just, that's just how it is for me. But like some people are just very much like, oh, well, like I'm mostly like into women, but like I still like men sometimes. So like I'm bisexual that way. I'm like, okay, cool. Like,
yeah,
whatever people want to identify as, I'm just like, go for it. Why not?
Okay, cool. So that I think, because I know at least Alphabet Mafia, I know, has a fairly large amount of younger viewers, and they can be confusing because they are like, well, you know, I think I mostly like men, but I also kind of like girls. What am I? And I'm like, well, I get that clears things up then, because you can be, you know, bisexual and still have preferences on some days or throughout the week, whatever it is.
It's just so weird.
Yeah. So, okay, great. I actually like that a lot. So I opened up some of the, oh, actually I do want to talk about micro labels. What is a micro label when talking about like bisexuality? Are you familiar with that?
Are you talking about like how people can identify under bisexuality as like different kinds of bisexuality, like how people can be attracted to all genders and not just the spectrum of male and female?
Yes, I believe that it was a submitted question, and so it didn't clarify, but I think the way it's worded, that's exactly what they're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, micro labels are very polarized right now. Some people are all for them, and some people are like, no, it like makes everything seem like so specific and so like sensitized, and people aren't going to take us seriously. Ultimately, we've been making so much change as a community for years. And we're only going to continue to make change as long as, you know, everyone gets out to the voting booths. By the way, go out and vote, please. we're like continuing to make change and progress as in regards to the community. So why is it totally crazy and oversensitized to be including more labels when society is constantly changing and people are constantly adapting because they have to.
Yeah. What is an example of a micro label, just for people who might not be aware?
Yeah. So when we're talking about like bisexuality, something that would fall under that as like a micro label would be omnisexual, which I didn't understand up until like a couple of days ago. And essentially it means that they don't have any sort of preference in regards to gender. It can be like NB people, regardless, whatever they want to identify as gender wise. And that's kind of what they, their preferences. And then pansexuality would also kind of fall under a micro label, as well, just because it's like personality as opposed to gender, but it's still fluid and gender preference.
Right, right. Yeah, I saw Josh Elfgort. I don't know how to say his last name.
Yes, the creator. I think I know what you were talking about.
Yeah, he's redhead, beard kind of.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw his video on pansexuality versus bisexuality, and basically, to sum it up, I think he was saying that pan people prefer personality more so than looks or
yeah.
So what are your thoughts on Nick videos denouncing Trump?
Oh my God, it's just now you see all of like the teenage girls like fangirling over him. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, can we like just remember everything that has come out about Nick videos?
Yeah.
And then like take a minute and like realize that like maybe there's like something a little suspicious going on.
Just maybe. I mean, it definitely sounds like if there's one thing I know for sure about Nick, it's that he really likes clout chasing. Like, he really likes clout.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't put it past him to be doing this as a tactic to look more brand friendly. He gained 50,000 followers or something crazy after he denounced Trump. So just doing something like that to become more mass appealing, be more wide appealing is probably where he's going. But yeah, and he's still, let's not forget, he's still transphobic. He's still kind of racist. Like, he still does all these bad things.
Screenshots. I still have them from that comment that he deleted.
Oh, yes, yes. You were actually the one that sent it to me. I remember that. I remember that because I remember I clipped it because he came on this podcast and he basically was talking about how being trans is not a choice and that trans people are already at a higher risk of mental health and that we should treat them better. And I clipped that under your comment that you sent where he's being transphobic and dead naming someone. And like, Nick, look, you're a hypocrite, or you just don't believe a word that you said on this podcast.
But honestly, I mean, because when we all watched that podcast, because we were all anticipating it with everything that was going on.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, he's like actually trying to make steps to like be a better person. And then he was like, haha, I'm just not going to use people's pronouns because it's funny to me. I'm like, oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Is it funny? I can't see anyone else laughing. Except for the Trump supporter fans.
Right. Jeez, how have you, how many times have you, like, talked to him? Because haven't you done a few debates or live streams?
I did one live stream with Nick videos, and that was it.
Okay.
I've talked to him very few times, but every time I've spoken to him, it's just been very brief, so.
Yeah.
We're going.
did you see his appearance with Elijah Daniel yesterday?
Oh my God, it was so awkward.
It was weird.
I was sitting there and I was like, oh, I just know that there's a lot of tension here.
Yeah.
And Elijah's just so incredibly gone. Like,
I know, he's just baked. And the funniest, Nick goes, I like immigration or something like that.
He's like, I love immigration. Yeah. I was like, oh my God.
He's like, whoa, okay. That's one way to put it.
Oh my God. It was so interesting. But you know. The Nick and Lance fan fictions are still giving me life to this day.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So cute that they've taken the same surname.
Honestly.
Oh my God. All right, so, this is a good question. Going back to definitions and labels. So someone wanted to know about your thoughts on he, him, lesbians. And I actually don't even understand this at all. So if you want to kind of talk about it at the most basic level and for the viewers too, and then kind of go into what you think.
Yeah, so he, him, lesbians, people kind of get confused because they think that he, him, lesbians are people who are trans, but they're not trans because while they go by male pronouns, they don't identify as a male. Like they don't see themselves as not being a woman, if that makes sense. It's kind of like looking beyond the whole like gender conformity, like traditionalism, because a lot of what gender is rooted in traditionalism. And he, him, lesbians kind of go against traditionalism and go against a heterosexist narrative, which is super important, especially in fighting against oppression of homosexuality and all LGBTQI plus people. And also I know a lot of trans individuals do get backlash from the whole he, him, lesbian argument, but it's really not even related because he actually like trans men are actually men. Mm-hmm. So they wouldn't go as a he, him, lesbian.
Right. Yeah. No, that makes sense. So it's, I guess I'm trying to break this down and of course trying to talk about things. You feel like you're walking on eggshells sometimes. So it's basically, is it a natural born female who also likes other females, but they want to go against societal standards, so they consider themselves he, him?
Yeah, it's like a gender fluidity kind of thing is mostly what I've been told in regards to he, him, lesbians. And again, all of this is like super new to me, so if I'm wrong,
feel
free to correct me. I'm open to being corrected. But it kind of is rooted a lot in the traditionalism and how it also goes back mostly to a lot of the lesbians who started the movement itself, especially with Butch Lesbians. Most he, him lesbians would define themselves as Butch Lesbians from the ones that I've spoken to about this issue. But for the most part, this is going against traditionalism.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I hope that clears things up for some people. And so what is your favorite way to deal with homophobes?
Oh my God. My favorite way. It depends on the time, but it typically happens in my comment section because people are too intimidated of me in person to actually like try and say something homophobic because they know they'd get an earful. But mostly I just tell them that I'm keeping a seat nice and toasty for them because they always tell me that I'm going to hell. So I'm like, I'm going to keep your seat nice and toasty for you because you're not very perfect in God's eyes. Let me tell you.
Right.
I was not the judge and you're doing that right now. Ooh.
I love that. I'm keeping the seat toasty for you.
I just love to troll them because that's the best way to get back at them because they take everything so seriously. And I don't
take
people seriously whatsoever because I think that their ideologies are harmful. And if people are going to continue to believe that their ideology is in any way correct, especially when it hinges on the oppression of other people, then they're not worth even arguing with. They're literally a joke to me personally because there's no getting through to them. There's no like, oh, I'm going to listen to your opinion and I'm going to listen to like why I shouldn't be homophobic because really you shouldn't have to explain to people why you shouldn't be homophobic.
No, period. Like that's human rights. Like that's just common courtesy at the very least.
Right. Like I always tell people like whatever people do in their free time, like why is it your business, man? Like,
yeah.
I won't tell you if you don't tell me.
Ever since the comment reply feature on TikTok, I've been acting up with the homophobes, just constantly responding to them, trolling them, doing whatever. But I'm so mad because TikTok doesn't give me the stitch feature.
Really?
Yeah, they don't give me the stitch feature. And I just know, like, because I get tagged in videos and stuff. I just know that, like, with it, I would become too powerful.
Yes, honestly.
Finding homophobic videos, like, doing, And so that's what I'm upset about TikTok not getting, like, there's a whole list of reasons why TikTok is not very nice to us, but.
Oh no. I mean, we're all shadow banned right now.
Yeah.
Every single last one of us. Into oblivion.
Into oblivion, shadow banned. It doesn't even, it's weird because I made a video and about, did you hear this guy in Louisiana that got baited on Grindr and then basically.
Yeah, I did hear about that.
Yeah. So I made a video on that. So if, or I guess for anyone listening, so this guy 26-year-old gay male, went over to a Grindr hookup's house, and at the house he got held at knife point and tortured and cut and stabbed almost to death. The police initially said it was just like, you know, an altercation between the two that just happened to happen. I guess they got in a fight. But the family believes that this was a baited, planned attack, that someone was trying to lure a gay man so they could harm them. So I made a video on that, long story short. And I'm looking at the analytics because I asked people to share it, you know, signal boost. And right. the shares are like astronomical. The comments are astronomical, but it's not matching up to like previous content or like where the views should be. And I'm like, right. What are you doing, TikTok? This is ridiculous.
Literally. Like yeah. When everything is like your like to view ratio is like 50 and you're like, perfect. Like I am golden. Mm-hmm. I'm going to like have a good video. Every time it like just sits at 7,000 views and I'm like, I hate it here.
Yeah.
So much, especially when you like put work into things and like actually like research it and or like there's a good purpose behind it.
Right.
Like, so many people are talking about what's going on in Yemen right now and nothing is coming out on TikTok. Nothing. Yeah. And especially with Black Lives Matter too.
It's kind of crazy to think, but I kind of get a lot of my news now from TikTok. 3 months ago, I wouldn't have said that, but I should say I initially hear about it and then I will go to more mainstream or more fulfilled sources to read
right.
more.
But, well, I yeah. mean, it's like essentially the same thing as Fox News because most of the time people are wrong. Just mm-hmm. do your own research.
Right. Exactly. So what? Yeah. Let's talk about the Yemen situation. So it's like a huge famine mixed with COVID and people are like dying or projected to die at a crazy rate. And Fox News doesn't talk about it. CNN doesn't talk about it. Like nobody's talking about it.
No. And I mean, people don't like to, I mean, America is a very individualistic country. So we only like to focus on ourselves. Mm-hmm. And right now we're trying to play the game of, oh, we have been so oppressed by being locked in our homes for COVID. Like that's all people are talking about, or they're trying to talk about the rioting. No one ever talks about what's going on in other countries. I mean, they weren't talking about what was going on in Asia with the wasn't it the Muslim concentration camps, like people were being
in China, I believe.
That was going on as well, and no one spoke about it. It's just like people don't like to talk about anything else that isn't going on in America America on the news. We're very much to ourselves, which I think is totally wrong, especially when these are the same people who want to completely shift the idea or the point of the argument when we're talking about human rights to other countries.
Totally.
Bring up these other countries, and then you'll be like, well, then let's actually talk about these countries. You want to talk about them? Let's talk about them.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And the only times we do talk about them is when there's an opportunity for white savior complex. When, like, say there's an earthquake in Haiti. And we're like, all right, we're sending our people down there to go clean up and look at us.
And then all the celebrities go down there and they take their publicity shots. I'm like, oh my God, the virtue signaling is too real. Like donate to places, actually go out and like protest, actually go out and make change and don't broadcast it. Like you don't have to go out and like take selfies at every single place that you go.
Right.
Not at all. Like, I think for the purposes of protesting, especially after what happened to Jory and their experience in LA, I think that live streaming is totally fine. Live stream, just for evidence purposes. But like, don't be taking like candid photos of yourself protesting or of yourself being a white savior. Like, that's just so cringe. Why would you do that?
I know. It's So I totally agree. And a few days after Jory got arrested, I actually attended one of the LA protests or the LA protest.
Oh, really?
Because I happened to be up there. I'm not in LA right now. I'm actually going to be moving there soon, but I was up there just for a little while. And I did live stream the whole thing and 500 people joined on TikTok and I saw it as an opportunity to bring these people along with me and show them what is going on. It wasn't, I don't have any picture. There's no pictures or videos where I'm trying to like get cute or whatever for Instagram because I was live streaming the whole time. And that's all I cared about was showing these people what's going on, having them with me and, you know, being part of it, being active. And it was great because 500 people, and I'm like, That was like the average amount that was like there the whole time, which is crazy for, I don't ever get that on a live stream. But
it's like 20 people and you're like, oh, my fans.
Right. But just so other people can take part in it and see it for themselves and feel like they're there. Like that's a beautiful thing. Not this virtue signaling where you're standing on a car with a sign, like dressed all cute.
Well, did you see that video of that kid who was like breaking stuff and then he got arrested? And it was like this whole like candid, picturesque, like, TikTok.
No, what?
It was so bad, and like all the people in the comments were like hyping this kid up for literally like trying to incite violence and just being a horrible person. I was like, why are you doing this? Like, this is not your movement to hijack and like make about yourself.
Right.
Like, I always tell people, because they always ask me like, how do I like go protest? I'm like, well, the important thing is like find a protest that's near you, make sure you have like all your supplies, make sure you're safe. But also make sure that you're not speaking for other people. Mm-hmm. Make sure that like your sole purpose when you're at a protest is to stand between the speakers and the police.
Yeah.
That is your purpose as a white person, because quite frankly, and it's really unfortunate, but they're less likely to hurt you than one of the speakers. Because unfortunately, if these speakers, a lot of the time they tell you not to take pictures of the speakers because of their identities. Being leaked, and then they have to, or like things happen to them, and this has happened in the past. And you know, there's, it's not a question that the police would try and do something after what we've seen.
Sure. Well, have you? I mean, I'm sure. I know you've heard, or probably heard of how people are disappearing. Like,
yeah, that was happening in D.C. for a while. We don't really know what's going on in D.C.
Yeah,
it's kind scary. Of scary, especially when. I don't know if you saw like all those videos of when Trump like completely like curfewed Washington, D.C., like shut down the streets and like had the police like arrest people so he could like take a glamour shot of him like with a Bible in front of a church.
Yeah. I remember that. And like the gas protesters, like so they could clear it.
Yeah, literally. I was like, come on. Yeah. You're hurting people who are peacefully protesting against racial injustice.
Yeah.
Which you have definitely a part in playing.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing
so
as
you could...
the number of hate crimes went up so much since Donald Trump has been president.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And it's like, so you can get a picture with a Bible that you don't even believe in just to rile your fans and look like some, I don't even know what, it's propaganda is like the right word for it, you know? Just
It's
totally staged, like.
It's so scary too, because you know I love science fiction, I love all that fun stuff, and I love dystopian novels. And something that I read in high school was The Handmaid's Tale, and every day I'm like, no, that couldn't happen here. And then like, oh, wait a minute, Donald Trump is president, and hopefully he doesn't win another term.
Yeah. Oh gosh, no. The polls are everything are saying. I know we can't trust the polls like look at last time, but they're like he's dropping a lot, like especially after, and maybe I know we just talked about Nick videos and how he's probably just doing this for clout, but especially after he said that they should reduce testing on COVID.
That like, was so stupid.
The intellectual suburban conservative is. Starting to go away from after he said that. So
I'm hoping is that a lot of people will leave the Trump cult praying. They see the light and get out of the sunken place, but I'm not holding my breath. But I'm hoping that a lot of people shift from Trump, and some do vote for Biden, but I'm hoping that some people who, you know, were the burning or bust people who are in safe places or safe states that are going to go blue, they vote for third party so we can actually get a third party recognized. Because that would be so incredibly awesome, especially in getting rid of the whole two-party system.
So third, because I know this is a bit of a discussion that people are having. So you agree that, or you believe that people should vote third party if they aren't happy with the other candidate, or?
I mean, because the whole purpose of voting, or the whole supposed purpose, is to reflect on your beliefs. And unfortunately, a two-party system doesn't really reflect all people's beliefs.
Sure.
Because
sure.
A lot of people who vote for a Republican candidate aren't like true Republicans. They don't fully agree with that candidate. They just don't like the other side, or they don't like necessarily resonate with the other side as much as the other.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if we have more options, then it totally takes away from this two-party system that totally limits people's ideologies. Mm-hmm. And it also allows for more diversity in thought, because I feel like it just gets into these like polarized arguments of abortion, good or bad, legalizing drugs, good or bad. And it's like, there are so many different things that can be done that are less of a one or the other.
Right, right. I agree. I like wish in theory that like it would be a great thing to do is vote third party. And I was, when the DNC did what they did to Bernie and Bernie dropped and we were forced to Joe Biden, I was like, you know, screw it. I'm either just not going to vote at all or I'll vote third party. But then I kind of listened to some things and got a little bit bullied into accepting Joe Biden. Because it was marketed as if you're not voting for Joe Biden, you're basically letting Trump win. And how could you do that to everyone? How could you do that to America? How could you do that to the trans community? How could you do that to people of color? And so I was a little bit bullied into that. So I think I am just going to hold my tongue and write in Joe Biden. But
right.
I think that is an interesting discussion to have, that we need to be open to all these different angles of looking at things and understanding
absolutely.
Our vote actually matters. So
right.
Did you see that Trump is imposing like a 10-year jail time for anyone who like dismantles a statue? I think he just authorized this yesterday. But because all the statues are coming down, he was like, if you are caught dismantling a statue, you're going to be thrown in jail for 10 years. And he also said, I don't know how legal this is, but he also said that this can be retroactively implemented as well, which is very scary, meaning they could hunt down people that previously took down statues.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
That's like so much coming from the party that always talks about freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
So much about freedom of speech. And I'm like, he's literally taking away people's freedom of speech. He said people can't burn the flag.
What?
Or else they're going to go to, they're going to go to prison for a year if you like burn the flag.
Oh my God. That's like unconstitutional.
Yeah. It's totally against free speech. Like that is genuinely free speech.
Yeah, literally. Like,
and half the time it is probably a flag they got from Walmart. So really.
Yeah.
It's not like an actual like nice
a
flag.
A flag that they got from China that was just made for 3 cents in a sweatshop. Like
honestly, they have to inhale all the carcinogens while they're doing it. So it's, oh God.
Wow, that's scary then, that he's trying to do that. I mean, I'm trying to explain to people that, like, this is an unprecedented time, and Trump is an unprecedented president, so, like, we have to be at least aware of the possibility of this authoritarian fascist state that we could be moving to, because there's, you know, some signs, and it's nothing, you don't want to overreact, or you don't want to, like, scare people, but, like, you can't ignore what's happening, and you can't ignore history.
Well, and what a lot of people like to do is they don't like to focus on things if they don't directly relate to them.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, well, like, this doesn't affect me, so I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm going to post my black square for the day and call it a day.
Right.
Unfortunately, what people don't realize is, yes, these issues may not directly affect you right now, but if you're not focusing on issues that affect other people, then once those people don't have any voice, who else is going to speak up for you?
Yeah.
It's from one of my favorite poems that is from, it's based on the world, Germany in the 1940s.
Mm-hmm.
Words, hard. but yeah, it's like, you didn't speak out for all these people and now they're coming after me and there's no one to come like to speak out for me because I didn't say anything. And you alone may not feel like you have the power to do any sort of change for people. But ultimately, like, having more people talking about it is change. It's bringing some sort of conversation to the greater picture. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, so many people are talking about Black Lives Matter that it's a part of every single person's discussion every day.
Yeah.
They have to talk about it because people are either talking about the protests or they're talking about the rioting.
Right. Right. And that's what privilege is, right? Is having the ability and the privilege to talk about those things and bring people up, because I look at privilege like a ladder. Mm-hmm. And on the, like, you got rungs of the ladder, and at the top is the cisgendered heterosexual white evangelical male, and I do consider being Christian a privilege. I mean, they're coming out as an atheist or agnostic or whatever is not fun. Like, there's people that face backlash from their family and stuff, so it is a privilege, in America at least. And so at the top you have the ladder, and then, you know, there's different parts of it, and you get maybe a cisgendered gay man somewhere on white, somewhere on there. And then at the bottom, you know, you have the person of color, feminine, transgender, just all those other things. And privilege is recognizing where you fit on that ladder and then trying to bring those people up that are on the other, on the rungs below.
Exactly.
And you can just do that through many ways, and conversation, and using a platform if you have one. Is, and everyone has a platform, whether you have 5 followers or 5,000. And it's one of the best ways to work on that and bring people up. So
exactly. I think people are just so focused on, you know, tearing other people down because they want to invalidate someone else to make themselves feel better. That's like something that I've noticed a lot lately, what people are doing, especially, you know, with women's rights and especially with the LGBTQI plus community. There's so many people putting each other down. It's like, we're all in the same exact fight together. I understand people have personal issues with each other, but we see other people who are part of our community tearing each other down. It's not doing anything except making it worse and making people see us as something that we're not. Ultimately, we're all good people. We make mistakes. People make mistakes all the time, sometimes more than once, most people. But ultimately, like, people can learn from things, and, you know, it's not going to help people by constantly making them feel horrible for their identity because you don't understand it, or because it doesn't fit into your sexuality, like, idea of being ideal.
Right, for sure. So this is a funny question. I'm curious to know how you're gonna respond to this. Someone says, "What are your thoughts on the All Lives Matter crowd?"
Oh, they really try. They are like the people who say that people who say Black Lives Matter have white guilt, but then they'll immediately say All Lives Matter because they're like, well, I'm saying all lives matter, so I can't be racist because I'm saying everyone, all lives matter. But they're also the same people who, you know, are pro-life and then they're not really pro-life. So it's like, you know, contradictions all around.
Right. Or they're homophobic, or they... whatever, they don't, they're the people that kick their kids out of the house for being gay while saying that all lives matter.
They're like, all lives matter. I just kicked out my child the other day. Whoops. Sorry. Just didn't align with my personal religious beliefs, and whoops.
So I don't know if you saw, but the Alpha Mafia kind of trolled the Polish president on Instagram. And are you familiar with the Poland situation, how there's LGBT free zones and how they're having an election?
Like, yeah. Doing some super homophobic shit.
So I kind of called for some fairy commenting, and the videos kind of blew up, and it was hilarious. Like, he has more, there were posts where he had more comments than likes on his posts, and they're all fairy comments. And this man had to disable his comment section. I think he's limiting it to, like, only people in Poland can comment now. We bullied the Polish president, and I was just laughing thinking about that. But my point was, because once he disabled comments, the followers were still hyped up. They're like, go do someone else. And so we went to Fox News. Fox News didn't go as well because there's too many people on there.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But I'm saying, like, the comment section on Fox News is cancer. If you ever are wanting to, don't go look through it unless you're, like, wanting to be put into, like, some other state of mind, because the people on there are absolutely atrocious. And I actually did make a fairy comment, and the DMs that I got are horrid.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised whatsoever.
It was really funny. This guy, I forget what he said, but he just said something terrible about how I'm some communist, blah, blah, whatever, like, whatever. Just normal Fox News shit. And I had sent a voice video back because he has like his place, like he has his occupation and like everything in his location in his bio. So I just sent a voice thing back like, thank you for that. But I don't think you know who I am. I see that you're a stone tile contractor in the Houston area. And I really wouldn't be messing with me because, again, you don't know who I am and the power I hold. And he deletes the messages. He blocks me. Like every, I have the screenshots. I'm not going to ruin this guy's life, but I could.
They aren't the brightest. I will say that much. They will post all their private information in their bio. Like that is my favorite thing, is I will get DMs from people who will have their private information in there. Why?
Yeah.
Why are you doing this? Why are you giving me free ammo to give it back to you, but worse?
It's right after the God, the American flag emoji, the pro-life with the little purple Christian heart.
some sort of Bible verse.
Yes.
Something in there.
Oh my God. And then their selfie that's like,
hello.
Oh. All right. So there is another question that's a little bit, we can kind of end with this one. It says, how should I deal with educating my parents about why they should accept me? I think this is a good one to kind of end on.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think for a lot of parents, they grew up in a very different time where LGBTQIA plus people weren't very recognized, or they were forced into being closeted. Mm-hmm. And they're not very aware of those things, and they're not very aware of people in general who aren't fitting a heterosexual narrative. So when they're met with something that's different, it can be super shocking, especially when we're seeing these issues in pop culture, and with them becoming more mainstream. I mean, so many parents are complaining about Disney trying to give some sort of queer representation, which I think is great. But how I always tell people is, well, you see, as a kid, I remember all the princess movies, there was a guy and a girl kissing. Mm-hmm. And that is against what you're talking about right now, but you weren't speaking out against it then. So why are you okay with it when it's this way, but not when it's two guys kissing or two girls kissing? Like, why is that not okay? Is it just because like you're uncomfortable with the idea? Because I can let you know why it shouldn't make you uncomfortable and it's actually pretty normal. Mm-hmm. But most of the time it's just trying to lead with a very level conversation and trying to like take examples of like, hey, so these are things that you think are normal, but that's very exclusory towards certain people and it's not inclusive of everyone. And since society is changing, there are more people who are going to be identifying as things that you may not understand. Mm-hmm. So to help you, why don't I help explain these things to you so you don't say something that is minorly offensive? Because I have noticed that a lot of older people do say things that are wildly, wildly offensive.
Yeah.
And just like openly too, I'm like, oh my God, you're very comfortable.
Right.
I would not be very comfortable saying those things, but you're pretty brave. Don't do it again.
Yeah, don't do it again. I totally agree. And I think it starts with just being able to address and understand that they were born and raised in a different time and in a different era, and they were taught different things. The world wasn't the way it was now. So if you can just recognize that and then, of course, work with them and be patient on helping them understand by showing them the facts, showing them that queer people exist, that homosexuality is found in over 1,000 species, you know, just all these little minute details about our community that are real and true. And then it opens them up down, you know, to leading to be more acceptance. And also understanding that it doesn't happen overnight in most instances.
Right. Well, and that's why a lot of people are trying to take on this new method of teaching people things, which is if you don't immediately renounce your super duper problematic, homophobic, racist ideology, then you're a bad person. I'm never speaking to you again. There's no use in actually like trying to educate you. You're just a bigot. And I don't think that's the most effective way to go about things, especially because, you know, I have learned a lot about psychology in college and something that's really important, especially when dealing with talking about people's beliefs that maybe are harmful, but they're super steadfast and they believe it to their core, is not to make them feel like they're a horrible person because of it, because they probably have never been told that they're a horrible person because they're homophobic.
Right.
You can think that in your private time, but ultimately, what, like, yelling at them for being homophobic isn't going to help, because it's only going to push them to have a negative connotation with the entire community.
Mm.
And it pushes against progress. People just need to be having more level-headed discussions. Now, do I think if people are being openly homophobic and openly transphobic that people should be being nice to them and be trying to have a level-headed conversation? No. If someone says, I'm just not going to use someone's pronouns. No, that's not how that works.
Nick. that's definitely you hit the nail on the head. Just understanding that, because if when we do push back and we do fight fire with fire, most of the time, or with instances like that where these people are just ignorant, because that's the word, ignorant. Then it just furthers them into their ignorant ideology. We have to decipher ignorance versus actually being hateful, which is kind of exactly what you were saying. I think so. Cool. Where can people find you? What are your social medias?
Yes. You can find me on TikTok at Gabby Katharina, which is my little name at the bottom. Otherwise, I'm back on Twitter. I deleted it and then I came back because, you know, the groiper stopped bothering me. So we're back. I'm on there. I'm Gabby Katharina X on Twitter. And then on Instagram, I am XX, Gabby Katharina XX. I could not get my full name on all social medias because someone who is much older than me took it, and I feel bad asking an old lady for my username.
That's funny. Just show them how many followers you have on TikTok, and maybe they'll be like, okay.
Change your mind.
Yeah, right. All right, Gabby. Well, I really appreciated you coming on and just talking today. It was quite a fun time.
Heck yeah, thanks for having me. It was awesome.
Thank you all so much for listening. You are all so beautiful and amazing. Make sure to check us out at www.thealphabetmafia.com. You can read our blogs there. You can support our brand. Get a sticker. Get yourself a sticker. That really helps us. It raises brand awareness. You put it on your water bottle. You put it on your laptop. It becomes more of a common thing seen around town. If you want to be featured on our YouTube show where I answer your DMs and emails regarding, you know, your situation you're in or needing advice, you can email us at info@thealphabetmafia.com. Again, that's info@thealphabetmafia.com. Just put in the headline LGBTQ+ advice, something like that, and I will try and read it and then use it on the show. Of course, if you need serious help, you can visit the trevorproject.org, or you can give them a call at 1-866-488-7386. If you are in need of serious help, please reach out to those people immediately. They will be more than happy to help in a tremendous way. Thank you all for tuning in, and I hope you have a beautiful morning, evening, whatever it is. Good night.